Well, we thank you for your word, because it's what has the ability to transform our minds, to know who we are in you. It's the most important thing. Yes, salvation is too, but Jesus is the word, and we thank you so much for that today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have hearing ears. Yes. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, to hear your word today. Okay, we're going to start this morning first with the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is No Longer Let Your Senses Rule You. That's the hard part, but it's essential for our victory. Okay, this is what the Lord says. Follow my example. Do as I did. Say as I said. I looked at the earth without form and void, but my spirit hovered over it and formed the image I desired. And then I said, light be in the face of darkness. Darkness faces you on every side, but be not swayed by what you can see, hear, touch, taste, or smell. Let your spirit be your guide. That is what I did. I want to get you to get a picture of what God saw. It says his spirit was hovering over the situation. And then he spoke. Genesis 1. We'll read it. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Just picture that, whatever your situation is. Body, finances, job, speaking over the nation, you know. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. Isn't that what we're doing? We had that word on Wednesday night about going from darkness to light. Isn't that what we're doing as the children of light? We're dividing the light from the darkness. That's our assignment. That's what we're doing here. If we weren't doing that, why would we be here? I mean, why? All right. Light separated from darkness. This is what I've called you to do. As you follow my example, the light will separate you from the darkness. I sent my son as an example for you to follow. So we're going to look at some scriptures of how Jesus walked, and he was the example of the kingdom of God in operation. He came here to show us how to do it. He was the second Adam, a second chance at this. All right, Mark 11. Well, let's just read about the fig tree first. Verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Then verse 20 says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. It didn't say what God desired, it said what you desire. I think that is something that we need to get into our thinking, that we need to trust that we are sons of God and God is leading us. And we need to have confidence when we speak instead of, well, I got to pray for 12 days to find out, well, maybe God, you know. No. I just told the Lord, I said, I'm going to say what I want. And if you don't like it, you better let me know because I ain't changing it. And that's the way I felt about it. Instead of, well, God, well, yeah, no. He gave you the say, just like he did Adam. Well, the Lord might have, no. Get that thinking out of your head. See, what does that do? It makes you hesitate. It makes you feel like you can have no confidence in the words you say, but Jesus said it's the words you say you have to believe, not God's word. All right, let's read again. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. God is almighty and he is powerful. But he has given the earth to man, and he's given man dominion and authority over the earth to take care of it. And we call it the way we want it. Okay. He moved the light of the kingdom into this world of darkness. He was teaching them how you do it. Very simple. You do not have to settle for darkness. Now, there's a lot to be said about waiting upon the Lord when you need wisdom. I'm not refuting that, but I'm just talking about going about your natural business. I venture to say, each one of you, wherever you go, it would just flow out of you. What you don't like, what you're saying, what you want to change. And I don't discount all the digital warriors and all the ones that done the research. They have their place. But as far as I'm concerned, we're doing it the God way, the kingdom way, and this is the most important way. So many want to fight with a fist. You cannot beat a demon spirit with a fist. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What is it? It's pulling down every thought and high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience to Christ. So everywhere you go, you've got the bombardment of what you don't want and what you don't want to see, and you want it to go away. Well, you have the say. But we've got to believe what we say. We have to have confidence that we're doing what we need to do. And if the Lord says something later, well, I think this is a better way, then you can correct it. Just don't speak the fear. Don't speak what you have. We don't need any more. Dear Lord, it's overflowing at the seams right now. It's like I taught on TV this morning. They were at extinction. We are at that precipice of extinction. Yeah, definitely. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures here of how when Jesus went about his ministry, how he acted. Well, somebody's got a demon. Well, we better go have a fasting, you know, better fast 30 days, or we need to call a special prayer meeting to do this. Really? The way some Christians act, you never get nothing done. Is the kingdom of God in you or not? We need to be acting like it is, because it is. It's a truth. We just have not had confidence in that. All right. Matthew 8. I'm going to hit mainly in the book of Matthew, because there's a lot of things that Jesus did in the book of Matthew. All right, 8. It's the first eight, chapter 8, verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Over the years, I've had people come back later and tell me that something that I prayed over them, that they got healed. And usually those were cases where I didn't even have time to think. I just laid hands and man, it just... I didn't have time to go home and pray and seek the Lord a few days about an answer. It was just spontaneous and it just happened. I didn't do it. And Jesus said he didn't do it either. He said, the Father in me is doing the works. But he was doing the Father's business. And so, as he spoke, the release would come. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing that will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay. All right, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is how he operated everywhere he went. Verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Same ones that speak to mountains. Okay. Keep going here. Matthew 9. 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? You know you have the ability to forgive sins. Oh, that's blasphemy. Well, that's what they said about Jesus too. Only God can do that. No, whatever sins you retain are retained. Whatever sins you remit are remitted. I've had the Lord tell me to remit someone's sins before. In other words, I evidently was holding on to some offenses and I had to release them. For whatever is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. You know, Peter, he had the people laying out in the streets, and it says even his shadow passing over them, they were healed. Why do you suppose that? He got filled with the Spirit at Pentecost. Same thing, Jesus walked in. Peter did. All right. Verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. When Peter and John told the man at the gate to rise up and walk, when they came before the people of the city that didn't like what they did, they said they perceived they'd been with Jesus. Why? They were acting like Jesus. They didn't need Jesus. He left them the Holy Ghost as the comforter. He said, it's better for you that I go away so that that empowerment can come into you. Yeah, and that's what's happened to us. We have more power than we think. It's just that we have doubted ourselves. We've not been taught that we're the head. We've been taught that we're the tail. But when you know you're the head, then you can have confidence in that. And you can speak and things happen because you have confidence in what you say. You don't second guess yourself. Like I said, the Lord very seldom ever gets on to me about anything I say or do. He might later say, well, this would have been better. But it's never in a demeaning way. It's never in a way that makes me feel ashamed of myself, makes me second guess myself. It makes me confident to go forth and do as Father did. Isn't that what he's telling us here today? Yeah, to do as he did. Okay, let me see here. All right, verse 28 here of chapter 8. Am I in 8? No, I'm in 9. Maybe I didn't read. Yeah, I read the rest of that. All right, 27 through 30. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. The multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. The Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devil. You know what? In whatever walk of life that the Lord has us in, job or whatever, we ought to walk forth in confidence in whatever comes our way, just with boldness, just say, I rebuke that. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Just be confident. Like you're confident in the training in your job. And you'd say, well, I do this and I do that. I call that one. Fill out this form. I do this. I do that. That's the way we should be after the master's business. Not always afraid we should say anything. Now, I don't believe we're supposed to force ourselves on people because these people come to Jesus. They come to him. But we should have the confidence to just act naturally. The supernatural is becoming the new natural for us. Do you understand that? We are coming out of all that natural garbage, and we are learning to flow in the supernatural, drawing what's on the inside, not the resources on the outside. We've been good at drawing these resources from the outside to do this and to do that, and all I got to do, always taking care of everything. No, this is all inside supply. That as we make a demand on it, it'll happen. That's how Jesus walked, and that's what he was showing his disciples how to walk. Same example he set for us. How do we follow him? Do what he did as the Spirit leads us. That's how we do it. It's not rocket science, it's heaven science, I guess. Jesus told his disciples to go do the same things they saw him doing and saying. They came back with this report. This is Luke chapter 10, Verse 17. All he is asking is for us to step out and do what he said. He will back us up. That's the signs and wonders. God is doing it through us just like he did it through Jesus. Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. No, only God has the power. No. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yeah. Are you his disciple? Yeah. Same thing. We should expect it. When you do your natural things that you've done for so long and you've been a success at it, you expect them to work, don't you? What's the difference? We're just not used to doing it. Actually, just like Adam, you have been given the say in the situations that touch your senses. Now listen to that. The situations that touch your senses, you have been given the say about it. No longer be distressed by what you see, but say what you want. By faith, simply make your decree. It will work for you just like it worked for me. I said that you would do greater works than I did. The God of this world would have you set your eyes on care, and that is the snare. I would have you take no thought sane, but meditate sane. That's what God, the Spirit of God, His Spirit hovered over the situation. And then God spoke. Meditating will form the picture you desire so that you can speak it. This light into the darkness, and the darkness has to go. Isn't that what we're doing? You know, we've all thought, well, some big supernatural thing is going to bring light into the darkness. But no, it's his kids. It's the people that are rising up and saying, we're not taking this anymore. In the natural and in the spiritual. I heard someone say yesterday, she made this statement. She said, you're not sick. It's the fog. Well, I know what she means. She means this illusion that we're under. The magic kingdom, if you will, of the evil one, the darkness, the fog. You can't see anything in a fog. It's that oppression. See, God's given people all over the body of Christ the same thing, maybe worded a little differently, but it's the same thing. Okay. Matthew 6:24-34, I've read it probably millions of times. It talks about two masters, which one you choose. Well, maybe I do need to read it again because it's paramount to our walk. Matthew 6. We're going to start with 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, the devil, when you start to do this, he's going to try to make you say, well, you missed it there. You did that wrong. You know, like Jesus got flack when he would do stuff, heal somebody. So if they persecuted him, he said they're going to persecute you too. But we still have to do it, regardless. You can't serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Boy, that says it all. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? So he's talking about everything that really concerns you personally, your finances, all that we wrestle with. He's saying, don't take any thought about that. Who's bringing the thoughts for us to take? Satan. Mm-hmm. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? All it does is get you upset and down in the mouth and pity party. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought. And then don't say, dear God. Take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, when we begin to put our mind to it and try to start walking and taking care of ourselves, we're going to negate the true God's riches, God's care. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is that? Submitting to God. And his way. Resisting the way that we were all raised and doing it his way. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. See, we, I don't know if we read Wednesday night or last Sunday about the time coming, I think it was last Wednesday, where before you even ask, so it says, I'll answer. I think that's Amos. Before you can even utter a prayer, God will answer. You know, I don't think we have to wait till we see everything done, because isn't the kingdom in us? I think it's just a matter of getting in the habit of doing things in the spirit the way we've been in the habit of doing things in the natural. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. The enemy would do like nothing better to keep you riddled with care. Thoughts of all kinds of stuff. That's his game. Okay, this is his aim. That's his game and this is his aim. This is 1 Peter 5. It says, humble yourselves. To me, when you humble yourself, you're saying, Lord, I take myself out of my own care and put myself into your care. If people would just do that, such a load would come off of them. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If he knows that his thoughts cannot affect you, you're not going to allow it, he'll give up and go down the road to somebody he can really torment. Train yourself to do this. It is a discipline. Satan does not have the say. You do. He's trying to steal your say. You understand? So he can do what he's been doing for 6,000 years. So you say the right thing. What's the right thing? All right, we'll see here. I said that you could have whatever you say. That's the right thing. Trust yourself. Trust God in you as the Son of God that what you say is the right thing to say. You were made to say. There's something on your lips all the time. There's a miracle in your mouth every minute of every day to say. But you can't negate it by doubting yourself. Doubt has no place and a kingdom walker. Satan has no power over you. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. People think Satan is so powerful. No, he isn't. Colossians says he's been stripped, completely disarmed. What he does is he turns your power on you. Think about that. You're the one with the power. Okay, let's keep going. He is the saboteur. He tricks you, and what you actually suffer is self-inflicted. Think about it. He uses your faith against you. He knows that you can have what you say, so he tries through care to get you to say what you do not want. His suggestions. That's all he's got. When I hear people say, well, the devil put sickness on people, he don't have any. Jesus took it all. He doesn't create anything. What he does is he knows how faith works. He watched God create. And he hates us because God gave him that ability that he cannot have. When he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, five times. God said, oh, no, you won't, and kicked him out of heaven. He does not get that right. He's angel class. We're God class. Now think about that. So he's after us, trying to get us to shoot ourselves in the foot. By taking a thought sane. All he is a big old mouth making his suggestions to try to see if we will take it. And that's why he pesters you. But if you resist him, he'll eventually leave. Okay. If Satan is rapid firing at you, reverse it back on him by countering him at every falsehood that he says. Every pain, every doubt, every fear that comes against you, if you turn that gun on him, you have the say in your own battle. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, our weapons aren't carnal. They're not. If Satan brings symptoms of sickness, say how well you are. If Satan tries to get you to take care in any way, then it's time for you to say, this is what I do. I just start from the top of my head to the soles of my feet and also from the inside out, saying what the Word says I have and what I want. Refuse to let the five senses rule me. I refuse to let Satan dictate to me what's wrong with me. I say what's right with me. Don't let Satan get a word in edgewise. Out-talk him. Give him no place. This is how we resist him, and it is what causes him to give up and leave. Let him be the one that always gives up and goes away, not you. I'm telling you, it's a discipline. Don't allow your senses to aid and abet the enemy. Talk to your flesh and tell it to get in order, just like when I said, light be. Like I said, we cannot let down and relax in this area. We have to be like a soldier, who we are, on top of our game, whether we feel like it or not. What's feelings got to do with it? Nothing. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. And I remind myself constantly about that. Nope, I'm not going there. And then I start speaking what I know to be true and get my mind off of it. And before you know it, it's not even there. That's the way it happens. That's the way you have to do. You cannot allow yourself to go to the darkness. You're a child of light. What are you doing in the dark? It's like you're going to a bar. You can't do that. You need to go and put a close sign on those areas of your mind that Satan would take you down to get you off course and to get you off your stand of faith. Shut your mind to that. Like I said, it's a discipline. You're going to have to make a dedicated decision to do it. Because he doesn't have anything but that suggestion. He didn't create anything. He's been stripped of power. You're the one with the power. It's just you have to know that you have it. Have confidence in yourself and what God has said, who you are and what you have. Okay.